Good afternoon, you're listening to Eye on the Valley right here on CIVL 101.7 FM, broadcasting to the Fraser Valley, broadcasting from the University of the Fraser Valley's Abbotsford campus on the traditional and unceded territory of the Stolo people. I am your host, Surjeet Atwal. I have a great episode for you today, an interview with John Vissers, local environmentalist. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. I've got the great privilege and pleasure to be joined by John Vissers, local environmentalist. Thank you, John, for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me on again, Surjeet. Always appreciate the opportunity.
You have been a very busy person lately, and I wanted you to tell our listeners what you've been up to.
Gosh, there's a lot going on, of course, locally, as always. So much of my attention right now is focused on preparing for a public hearing in Abbotsford at City Hall on March 6th, where we have our very last opportunity to help shape the community plan for the McKee Peak area. And this McKee community plan is really going to radically alter, you know, Abbotsford's relationship with the natural environment and of course focus much of our future growth. And so we have an opportunity to, one very final opportunity on March 6th, to have some input on how that is going to proceed. So it's a kind of an important thing happening in our city right now.
And could you talk more about that? Because that's interesting. I don't think most people know what that project's all about.
Sure. The city of Abbotsford is growing, and our official community plan is kind of aggressively encouraging development in areas that have already been developed. In other words, low density areas that can be densified. A good example of that is old historic downtown Abbotsford with the new developments in that area, and that's kind of where the city was focusing a lot of its attention. But for the last 20 years, private landowners on the McKee area, perhaps most people are familiar with that as where most of the mountain biking is taking place. There's lots of trails. There's a huge intact forest. It's all on private land, of course, but most people might be aware of that area as a hiking and trail area. But it's private land, and of course, it will inevitably become developed. And so what we're hoping is that we can influence the city to strike a real balance between the demands of growth and the commitments to a sustainable environment. And I think that's really the only sensible future is kind of finding a path through that enables us to find homes or build homes for people, but also respect the needs of the natural environment.
And after the Fraser Valley flooding and now the snowstorm that we just recently had, do you find that municipal governments that you're dealing with are more receptive to the idea?
Oh, well, this is the problem, is we have the city, the policymakers have learned the language of sustainability and recognize the importance of a healthy natural environment, but they don't really have, I think, the toolbox to implement that, and so often we see development sort of leapfrogging up Sumas Mountain, you know, the basically 1970s style trapped housing that's sprawling up Sumas Mountain and almost no amenities to speak of. These are driven, admittedly, by private landowners and private developers who have a right to do things with their land. But the city has a responsibility to steer and direct that in a way that makes the most sense for the city of Abbotsford. Growth for its own sake is utterly and absolutely pointless. And so while the city has good intentions, the outcome is often just another big subdivision of housing, and we know from the past that these sorts of things don't really work.
And do you think the problem is not the municipal governments, but the provincial and federal governments haven't given them directions or haven't given more leadership on this issue?
I don't think there's a lot of, I don't think it extends that far. I think the city does have powers in terms of planning, city planning within the city of Abbotsford, and they, the official community plan was intended to give the city the tools it needed to direct growth in a more sustainable way. But the problem with growth, we still use the models of the, you know, the past century. I think that's a big mistake in terms of how we engage with a changing demographic in the society. We use the past as an example or as a model for how we should do things in the future, and I think that's a terrible mistake, because it's one of my favorite sayings: is the future isn't what it used to be,
mm-hmm.
and we always seem to default to, well, this is what we've always done, and so let's keep doing it. And we know that that's not going to work. And so much of my efforts, particularly with respect to the, you know, to biodiversity and sustainability, are much of my efforts are directed towards reminding the city that if we really want a livable community, then we have to respect the different components, and those, of course, are things like a healthy environment and recreation and natural spaces. We have to find a way to maintain those while we build our city, and that means letting go of some of the models of the past and embracing new ways of doing things. And there are developers who are trying to do that. There's actually, if you think about it, you know, there's all kinds of different ways that we can develop a city, and they don't have to use the models of the past. But if you look at that, if you Google map, you know, that area up by the golf course and then the Augustan neighborhood and that whole area, you'll see how over time all we're doing is putting in roads and houses. And I think there's thousands of people up there with almost no amenities right now. They're not respecting the principles of what, you know, what are called now the 15-minute cities, which is really the ideal path forward that that most cities are trying to adopt. And we're still doing it the old way that we know doesn't work. So we need people to speak out and say, wait, this isn't going to work for me, particularly young people who are going to be living their lives here in Abbotsford, hopefully. and I think they have a right to demand a better quality of community.
You have been doing this for a long time, this advocacy for the environment and other causes such as that. You find that with more population growth, your advocacy is getting much more difficult or much more easier?
That's a good question. It's really both. On one level, the sophistication of our ways of communicating, and you know the learning curve that we're all on, it allows us to do much more with our concerns. A good example of that is our Fraser Valley Conservancy. We've just launched a program. Specifically to this, you know, to this issue of Mickey Peak, and if anyone wants to hashtag speak for the peak, is the portal, is the way in to many, many different discussions around this issue and a lot of other things that are going on in Abbotsford as well. Anyone who goes to the Fraser Valley Conservancy website, Facebook page, Instagram, whatever, they'll find just a wealth of information on what to do, how to help, how to engage city, and so we have this wonderful new way of sharing our information and learning from each other. But then on the other hand, what's making it more and more difficult is that the status quo and the establishment and the policymakers have also learned the language. And so they can, in a way, they can not greenwash, but sort of be what we call superficial adopters. They can make us feel better about what's going on without upsetting the status quo. And I think we need a radical shift in the way we're living, and that's not going to happen if the established policymakers aren't willing to change as well. They've learned how to appear to be doing the right thing without doing anything at all. And that's a big problem that we face. I remember 25 or 30 years ago, it was easier for us to show that a development proposal simply wasn't doing what it was supposed to be doing, and it was failing. But now it's much more nuanced and subtle. And so if you go to the city webpage on the McKee Peak plan, it looks wonderful, absolutely, on the surface. But we've seen how the plan has changed, the drafts have changed over time, and how the natural environment has been degraded, and the issues around sustainability have been sidelined to the point where we have nothing left, really, in terms of a real sustainable biodiversity in that area. And yet it appears on the surface to be just fine. And so that's what's making it very, very difficult now to engage and to encourage a more progressive change.
And what is your final message to our listeners today that are listening to this program?
There's so much. I think if I just have a minute, I would implore people on March 6th to come to City Hall, and even if they don't want to go to the microphone and say, you know, I think we can do better than this, you can go to the microphone and you can say quite simply, I support and concur with these speakers that what they're saying. We need to do better. You don't have to come with a presentation, but even more effectively, you can go to the hashtag Speak for the Peak, and you can engage at that level. There's a list. There's a whole list of things that you can do to help us encourage city to do a better job of the development area, and so that's really the only thing that we can do right now. And this is our very last chance to have any input at all. And whether you're a mountain biker or you're a nature or you love the natural spaces, or you may be a person who wants to have affordable housing in that area, it all matters that we focus on this and encourage it better.
Thank you so much, John, for taking time out of your very busy schedule. And we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you, Sergi.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to Eye on the Valley. Join me again next week right here on CIVL 101.7 FM as I have another great episode for you.